You're listening to Ready Aim Empire. On today's Crash and Learn, you're going to join one of my favorite people, a man who definitely inspires me with his discipline and morning routine, Jimmy Hayes Nelson, as we talk all about how he's grown his epic empire to incredible proportions.
Think only the big boys build empires? Not anymore. Here's host Lisa Keeker with the actionable, doable advice you need to drive profits like the boss you are.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Crash and Learn. So today I am joined by public speaker, storytelling expert, and online business coach, Jimmy Hayes Nelson. Now, if you have never met or seen Jimmy, one thing I should tell you is that he is a bundle of energy of the best kind. He's one of those people who the moment you meet, he is going to inspire you to do incredible things. It's just in his nature. So Jimmy, thank you so much for being on here with us.
I am stoked to be here. Anytime I get a chance to chit chat with you is a joy, and I'm glad that we have an audience today.
Oh my gosh. You know, so I have to tell you, I was so excited when I met you and realized your wife was from New Orleans and that I had another person who could understand just how fabulous my hometown was. It made my day.
Absolutely. It's an area that I love. It doesn't always love my waistline when we come down there to my in-laws, but I love the area and the people.
Yes. I'm afraid when I go home, it's literally one of those things, especially I was there for 3 weeks this summer and I came back and I was like, it's okay. Every single thing that I ate while I was there, because it tasted incredibly good. It's home. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, I just gave you this like super broad introduction because I feel like you do a lot of different things and you've got a unique background coming out of acting that has prepared you to get on stage and do epic things in front of people to really lead them to new places, but to also really tell stories. So will you just start by telling everyone how you got started in your business?
I'd love to. And, you know, to give the audience just a little peek behind it, how should I introduce you? And I always say, well, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
I always talk about this as, you know, growing up in West Texas, I was a kid that I did enjoy performing and entertaining people. However, coming from a broken home and being a heavy kid most of my life, I always felt, you know, trapped between two worlds. I'm supposed to be in front of people and entertaining, but I'm super self-conscious because, you know, at one time in my life, 100 pounds overweight. So you're not always comfortable in being on that stage in
Absolutely.
Front of people. And it was this constant battle of being pulled between two families and wanting to keep everybody happy, so trying to entertain. Yet I had this really, really bad habit of quitting lots of things growing up, whether it was Taekwondo or the guitar or many, many musical instruments or art school. And I literally one day found myself 100 pounds overweight, a 3-time college dropout, and I'd had to move back in with my mom in my mid-20s. And there was just this moment that I had between me and myself in a mirror that said, that was just a very humbling experience that said, Jimmy, if you don't change, if you don't do something, you're going to be alone the rest of your life. And it was in that moment, I didn't have a plan yet. I didn't know that being a public speaker or a business coach was in my future. But I go always back to that moment, that was the turning point, that I made a decision first. And then some of the solutions started to present themselves. And I think I like to share that story because I think so many people out there aren't moving because
Absolutely.
They don't know what they're supposed to do or how they're supposed to do it. When really at the beginning, it has to come from a decision that, yes, I'm going to change. And then I was introduced to some things that helped me lose weight, that I was introduced to some ways to get involved in business. But the root of it came from that decision that enough was enough. I got really good at blaming other people of why I wasn't
sure.
successful or why I had to quit. And I had to just stop playing the victim role and take action.
You know, I think that so many people, especially whether this is in life or entrepreneurship, we get to that like the murky water place, you know, the place where you don't necessarily know what the next steps are and you freeze instead of just realizing that the most important thing you can do is take any step forward. You just make a decision to go on the path and say, it's okay if it's not the perfect step. It's at least propelling me in the right mindset, in the right direction to get there. I mean, that seems to be part one of like, hey, I'm going to get out of wherever I am. You have to take action. You have to make the decision and say, yes, I'm going to do this.
And I have found that whether it's the universe or God or whatever you want to say, that there's something that really is honored when you take that first step of faith. That people, whether I find in my life, just because I feel like weight loss and business parallel each other in so many ways. And so somebody going, well, I can't see 25, 30, 40, 100 pounds away. There's no way I can see the 6- and 7-figure online business that I want to build. And you can ask anybody that have achieved either of those things that they didn't know where they were going when they started either. It's not this gigantic playbook that you just open up and go, oh, well, this is how I'm supposed to make 6 figures online, or here's how I'm supposed to, you know, lose all this weight or change my life. That it literally starts with that one little step. And then I feel like certain solutions or people are brought into your life that you wouldn't have been open to before you made the decision or before you took the first step.
Oh, I think that is such true advice. I've seen it in my own life that every time we really put ourselves out there and genuinely say, okay, I'm taking myself out of my comfort zone. Like, that seems to be the deciding thing. This decision is not taking me to a place of total peace. It is taking me to a place that's outside of my comfort zone, but I know it's where I need to go. That's when things start showing up. They really do, each and every time. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
So you start this in kind of a unique place in your life. I guess I'll call it maybe a little bit of a darker place in your life that this entrepreneurship is born out of, because I guess it's both dark and light, because you're making these powerful changes both personally and professionally to see this. Now, I know how incredible your business is today, but I know on this journey, as you go through this, that there's probably been some impasses. There's been these moments of crashing where you were either going to burn bright or you were going to learn and move onward and really alter how you approached your business and life from them. So when you look back at those moments, what stands out to you?
You know, it's so funny. It seems like I keep reliving this same enough is enough moment in just different arenas.
Yeah.
I work with a gentleman named PJ McClure, who's a great mindset coach. And he told me a long time ago that our lives and our businesses with our family and our spiritual walk is almost like a slinky. It's like a spiral, right?
Yeah.
The same thing is going to come back around looking just a little different at a different point in your life. And I look at going from, you know, a fat quitting guy in the mirror to fast forward to losing 100 pounds, you know, marrying my wife, moving to New York City to pursue an acting career because I had gained some confidence. But at that time, early married, probably 30 years old, and my wife was the sole breadwinner. You know, if any of you know that, if you're a performer or know anything about acting, you're pounding the pavement every day and you're trying to find little ways to make some extra money while keeping your schedule open and up for that next big audition. But it was humbling to be in a marriage where I really wasn't bringing anything to the table. I was hustling, but I had nothing to show for it. And one of the things that I would do on the side when I wasn't getting any acting gigs or auditions weren't going really well is I would do promotions work. So promotions work could have you do anything from catering to showing up to, you know, sing and open a grocery store, you name it, I've done it. And I just, like, one moment that I think of that I really feel like rock bottom for me is I was told to be in Times Square at about 5 o'clock in the morning. And do you remember the movie Newsies?
Yes. Like, yes, totally.
Okay. So I was given a Newsie outfit, like with the little knickers and the little hat. Again, 30-year-old adult with a, you know, I have a wife, I'm a grown man. I'm asked to put this on and pass out chocolates to the oh-so-friendly people in New York City at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Oh,
and it was the worst experience. And again, it was just another time in my life where I got mad and fed up. And I was like, this is awful. Like, this is not where I thought I was going to be at 30 years old. I don't see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. And I got really serious about, okay, I have to find a way to build this online business that I had started maybe a year earlier that I really hadn't taken seriously. It was just kind of this little thing on the side. Again, I was just waiting for some lightning bolt moment to make this thing to start making me money. And it's funny because you talked about my journey starting in a dark place. And when I speak to my audiences, I remind them that good things in people's life, we like to romanticize them and think that they always came out of this, you know, hopeful moment or this super positive things. And I'm just going to be really honest that a lot of the things that I've achieved in my life that look like positive, that have become positive things, started in a dark spot and really an angry, fed up spot. And that's what got me to take action and create something positive out of it.
You know, as you say this, I think two things. I mean, the first thing when you said, you know, I keep reliving those moments over and over and over again. I had somebody recently say to me, new level, new devil. You know, when it comes to our business, every time we hit that next level, there's like that little thing that you go, crap, I still am going to deal with this. I'm still going to deal with that. But, you know, when it comes down to these things, I found every single one of probably the greatest things that I've had in my life that I have now came out of a period that wasn't so beautiful. I mean, even if it's as tangible as my son, I mean, Remy is so precious to me. And I remember as I was going towards my labors a couple of weeks before, this incredible doula that we were working with said, you know, I want you to understand those labor pains are there for a reason. They're there to bring you one of the most important things in your life. And you have to embrace them when we're in that room. And it won't be pretty. And it will be one of those moments that you will want to run from. You will want, so we were doing a natural childbirth. You're going to want to turn away, but they're part of the process to giving you one of the greatest gifts. I mean, I'm there with you. I get it.
I was just going to say, I think so many people, as we look, you know, I think we always have people that we have, what I consider maybe like online crushes, where we're like, we look at like, gosh, I wish my life was like their life. I wish that business was like their business, or, oh my gosh, no wonder they're so successful. Look how charismatic they are or whatnot. And I remind people that really specifically today with the way that we find people is we're looking at someone's highlight reel, right? We're looking at something through a filter. You know, if you go to my YouTube channel, you're going to see some really amazing videos that have, you know, my videographer and editor does a great job. But that's not what my life looks like day in and day out. One of my favorite books is The Entrepreneur Roller Coaster by Darren Hardy. And in that book, not only does he also talk about sometimes anger being the thing that's going to move you to change your life, and that's okay. He also reminds us, you know, he's like, when you look at Oprah or Bono or any super entrepreneur, that 90% of the things they do, they may not enjoy. It may not be sexy or pretty. That it's a lot of labor pains, right, within what they have to do, but they do it because that 5 to 10%, when it, you give birth to that new thing, you get to impact that person, you do get to be on stage and, you know, look amazing, it's all worth it. But that stage never happens. The success never happens without the willingness to go through the pain, to muck it up, to show up and do those unsexy things every day.
Yeah. And it's the everyday. I mean, it's so funny. We literally, like, an hour ago, I was talking to my girlfriend, and she has this very incredible company of manufacturing products that have been featured in like People magazine, and they're sold in great stores. And, you know, she was making the comment. She said, you know, people expect my life to be an Instagram feed, you know, and they forget, like, you're not going to put something unattractive on the Instagram feed. Does my desk really look like the pictures I put out every single day? No, it's got a cup of coffee on it now. It's got my snacks here. It's got this, it's got that. And, you know, you see this, and we're so accustomed at this point to, I think, really believing that's reality. It's not. I
think it also opens up an opportunity in the marketplace right now. And so I'm such a passionate person when it comes to sharing one's personal story. I think so many people don't understand how their personal story really sets them apart with what they do business-wise. They try to create this business-branded version of them. But I know the people that I gravitate to are those ones that are willing to be selectively vulnerable with me, though. Maybe it is the picture of the dishes, you know, piled up. Maybe it is sharing. This podcast is a perfect example of that. Instead of let's just all compare our highlight reels and look amazing, that we're going to peel back the curtain a little bit, be a little vulnerable, talk about those times that we failed. I mean, there in 9 years of running my business, I can think of at least 3 times that I had to basically rebuild this thing from scratch, find new people, start over. You think you have long relationships with people or an assistant. Some mornings you wake up and you're like, oh, I've been doing this for 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 years. And you really feel sometimes like you're starting from square one because you have to be willing to say, okay, I built it once. We can do it again. And I know that you and I have talked that there have been those moments in business as well where does it just hit a level and you hit cruise control? I used to think that. I used to think, oh, when I get here, I can put my feet on my desk, put this puppy on cruise control and just, you know, coast off into the sunset.
No, no. So my mom is a therapist. And before she was a therapist, she was an entrepreneur. She was really successful. And she laughs all the time because she swears that like her being in business has taught her more about working with people in therapy than going to school to be a therapist ever did. Because, you know, you're constantly being confronted by something that's going wrong or something that's going to set you back. And she said, you know, part of the exhilaration of being an entrepreneur is that willingness to view that for what it is, which is a chance to grow and shape and really leap forward from there. You know, there's that temptation to say, I'm going to dwell in the doldrums. And, you know, let me just be honest, everyone has their moments where they're like, they need the pity party. I'm there. I had one of those days on Monday. In fact, you were in the call when I was talking about it. But by Monday evening, it's like we had a total action plan. We moved forward and it was like, yes, give yourself the moment, but tell yourself when that moment ends and move forward and go to the next step.
I totally agree. And literally right before I jumped on here, I had a call with some of my top performing clients. And one of the things is that we were talking about what's going well. And some people had some things to complain about. And I said, here's your safe spot to come and complain or let us know when something's not going right, as long as I have one rule, and I call it the no Eeyore's rule, the no thanks for noticing me, where you just want to throw up just nothing but a pity party, but you can come and vent as long as you're open to the group helping you be solution oriented. Now, what are we going to do about it? And that's my one rule. So, you know, my groups or my Facebook groups where I coach my clients doesn't just become a place for people to come and complain and dump what's not going well. I don't mind if they bring it to the group because that's the power of working in the group, as long as they're solution oriented and open to, okay, I've got it off my chest. Now, how do I move on from this?
Yeah, I have found between Dan being in the military and us having our businesses and working with experts who do personality typing, one of the number one things that we always look for is, do you have a negative or a positive viewpoint on life? And, you know, in entrepreneurship, it's almost crucial that you have that positive viewpoint, that willingness to take this and say, okay, this is a setback, but how do I move forward? And I love the fact that you said solution oriented, because I think it's one of those lessons that across the board, if we can learn that very few things are worth collapsing over. You know, there is a solution to 99.9% of those things. We've just got to be willing to lay it out step by step and then have the discipline to follow through on it.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up discipline, because as I was sitting here and jotting things down as we were talking, the other thing, if something has gone wrong in my personal life with me physically, or, you know, maybe with my health and fitness or with my business, if I'm really honest with myself and I look over like the past 6 weeks, I think, I always think that's a kind of a sweet spot.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, I have taken shortcuts. It's the reason why, if I can use a sports analogy, it's the reason why so many teams don't repeat as a champion, because you're really hungry to get to the top of the mountain. Like you're putting in the extra hours. There's no rock that's not, you know, overturned. Every little attention to detail. And then when you reach that goal, people stop doing the little tiny things they did, the little attention to detail things. They start rounding those corners just a little bit. And it was all that little attention to detail and the extra care that got them to that pinnacle. It was that extra hour of practice. It was staying after practice a little longer. And whatever that is, the equivalent of that in someone's business or in their personal life, I find the first thing we do is we start rounding those corners. And then we wonder why the results aren't the same. And for me, I just have to go straight back to, okay, be really honest with myself, Jimmy. Am I putting in the time I was putting in? Am I putting in the effort I was putting in? And am I bringing the same attitude to the work, not just because it's mundane, but I feel like so much of what we do is determined by the attitude we put into the effort as well.
Yeah. I mean, so we love, love, love Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. And one of the biggest things that I love talking to my son about is Steph Curry's mental and physical discipline. And there was this incredible story that Michael Jordan actually told. I guess he'd gone to Michael Jordan at one of his camps as a high schooler. And he said, you know, here was a kid that was technically smaller. He was technically, you know, at a disadvantage, but he was the first person there. As soon as the janitor opened the doors in the morning, he was the last person to leave every single day. You know, Michael Phelps did this as well. You know, there was a four-year period where he didn't miss a single day of practice in the pool. Christmas Day, he was there, all of it. It takes that discipline.
If you ever watch Steph Curry's warm-up before game,
yes!
It's impressive. Watch it, but being on a schedule and discipline like that isn't natural in my personality type.
Yep.
But when I tell people about my morning routine, sets me up for the day. So yes, I'm a successful business owner that makes my own hours, but I get up at 4:40 in the morning. The first thing I do is grab something that sets my mental intention for the day. So it's something to do with mindset. I'm a big believer in personal development, but I always feel like there should be two forms of personal development all the time: mindset and skill set. So an example of that for me is I'm a really big fan of Stephen Furtick. He is a pastor at Elevation Church in Charlotte,
absolutely,
Carolina. And I feel like regardless of someone's, you know, backgrounds or beliefs, I feel like he just speaks to entrepreneurs so well. And so every morning I start, even if it's one I've listened to before, I literally roll over, grab my phone, my family's asleep, put my headphones in, and pop on one of his sermons on his YouTube channel. So by the time I'm getting ready for my workout that morning, so by the time I'm ready to you know, walk into the gym or push play or get ready to do my workout, that's kind of 20 to 40 hidden minutes of mindset. Then I do that workout. So that physically gets me ready to serve other people. I really take care of me before I start trying to serve my audience. Then after the workout, the other piece of that personal development, which is the skill set. Am I jumping on a podcast like this? Am I diving into that online training that I bought and has just been sitting there? And so by the time I sit down at, you know, whatever, 8, 9 o'clock, I've set my mindset for the day. I physically have gotten ready to serve and help other people. I have learned some new skill and I'm ready to go. And for me, that routine every day, I feel has gone a long way in helping not only our success, but the staying power with our businesses as well.
You know, I love that you said this doesn't come natural to your personality, because I am a lot like you. I am really creative. I came into this more as an artist and without ever having done a business class or having had that traditional background. And if given my opportunity, I'd be a little bit all over the place. And so for me, at least, and I have the same deal, my morning routine is set. It has to be. Basically every single day. I mean, down to the fact that as boring as it may be, I eat the same breakfast pretty much every single morning. I know exactly what's going to be in there. And I know everything that I'm going to do in order to ensure that when I really get to work at 9 a.m., I'm ready to be there. You know, the energy is there. And I love the definition of the mindset and the skill set, because so oftentimes we leave one or the other out. You know, and you only come with 50%. You can have great skills. If you've got a terrible mindset, nothing is going to happen. I mean, it's just not going to move you forward.
And when I share that with people, the first thing I always hear is, I'm not a morning person. And I'm like, I wasn't either. I mean, obviously, as an artist, as somebody that did a lot of theater and primarily musical theater.
You were a night owl.
I'm used to at the theater until 11 and then going to eat after and getting back home at 2 a.m. And then my days as a bartender and a waiter, like, I think naturally for the longest time, I was that person that would go to bed between 2 and 4 a.m. until it became apparent to me. And really what did it was I started noticing how many successful people that I looked up to got up early and started getting things done. I'm a big student of success. And I was like, okay, if they can do this. And it was awful. I mean, it totally is awful at first. There's still mornings that I don't think I ever just greet 4:40 with excitement anytime. But once I get up and do it, and now that I've seen the fruits of what that produces, it's easier to keep it going.
And you're a little bit like me. You're actually, I think, in an even tougher place than me. You've got little kiddos. Yours are a lot younger than Remy. And, you know, the one thing that I find is that once the day starts, you know, everyone else's day, nothing is guaranteed at that point. You know, you can really guarantee that early morning time. Like, I know if I'm up at 6 a.m., I probably will never be a 4:40 in the morning girl, but 6 a.m. I'm okay with. And if I know if I'm up at 6 a.m. and I've had, you know, 20 minutes to sit with a candle on reading, and I've gotten a 25 minute workout in, and you know, it might not even be, it's funny because people would say 25 minute workout. I'm like, that's sometimes I go back and I'm still going to do yoga that evening, but I know that I've gotten that. I know that that fits into my schedule before school, that I'm guaranteed that I can get that done and move forward, and I'm ready for my day. Those are the days when by noon, I'm literally closing my planner and saying, I've gotten everything done that was on my schedule.
That's the greatest. You know, also for the people, because all of us start these businesses, I say all, the majority of the people that I work with that want to be an entrepreneur or working to get an online business up and running, it starts as a part-time hustle. It starts in those little moments between the day job or the kids or whatever that, you know, I know somebody's listening to this right now and go, well, that's great that you guys have all morning to do this. And that wasn't the case when I started this. You know, there were other jobs that I had, waiting tables, doing whatever, you know, kids, that you have to find those little times. Again, another reason why I had to shift to an early morning is because I had to take care of me before the day put their demand on me. And the only reason I'm a 4:40 person and not a 6 a.m. person is because I have a 5-year-old who's a 6 a.m. person. So
absolutely.
I just had to, you know, early he wakes up, I got to shift it earlier than that because, you know, once he wakes up or the baby wakes up or my wife Kelly is up and running, then, you know, obviously going to want to take care of their needs or, you know, and God forbid the people that roll over and the first thing they do in the morning is look on Facebook or check an inbox, because then you're immediately, you're playing defense from the beginning of the day. You're on somebody else's schedule.
Yeah.
And you're never going to get ahead until you learn to take care of yourself first and then serve those other people that are tugging at your pant leg. They're literally or figuratively of needing your time and attention.
No, I think one of the best things that Dan and I ever did, and this was a real issue for him, this is still something that he struggles with within this, but 2 years ago, I went to this conference and I had a woman say, you know, I never sleep with my phone in my room. I have a real alarm clock. I have a real this. And I went, oh my gosh. And ever since then, my phone has lived in another room in our house. Because to be honest with you, like this morning, I mean, I was just realizing, you know, and it's not even morning, it's actually early afternoon. I still really haven't opened my phone. I responded to one message that had come through earlier, but you know, I save that for as long as I can. You know, those aren't necessarily the major important things. Those are distractions, and their distractions can quickly take hold of us. You were the person who actually told me about Kill My Feed, the Google Chrome piece that lets you literally remove your Facebook feed. And that has been one of my favorite things that I've found this year.
Yeah, it's super helpful. The only time I spend a lot of time in my Facebook feed, or if I want to get in there to like keep up with people, that's when on my phone. But if I'm on my desktop working, yeah, that I use the Google Chrome extension, Kill the News Feed. And it literally has a message that says, quit wasting time, get back to work, like where most people's news feeds would be.
Yeah, and I need to hear that. You know, every so often, like, there's just things. I use something called Freedom as well. It's just a program. You can download it on your phone and your computer. It's an app. And it actually logs into like your proxy settings. And so every day from 9 to 3, and then I have it set again from like 6 to, I don't even remember exactly what time in the morning, but like 6 to 7 a.m. I have basically all social media and then also my Gmail blocked. I can't access it. And I've chosen like these websites, and somebody told me I was nuts when I did it. And it's been the best thing ever. It's forced discipline on me that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
And I bet you're so much more productive in the hours you actually do work because it's focused productivity. Well, oh, I can't do that. The other thing, you know, just to kind of, you know, to bookend this is I've also found that I always felt like I needed to respond to everybody immediately. And I feel like we as a society, oh, I got to check Facebook when I first wake up, or I got to check my email because what if I wait too long? What if somebody's waiting on me? And we've become this kind of microwave society of thinking that we really have to respond to people immediately. And I had a mentor one time that told me that we tell people how to respect our time.
Yep.
And I used to be that way. My clients and or anybody that I was working with, was I wanted to be, you know, I worked at Disney World for 2 years, right? So customer service was a really big deal to me. I thought, oh, I'm going to be the best at this because I'm going to respond immediately. And all that did was open the floodgates for them to ask more questions and really time waster things, or people that weren't going to take action with what I was going to tell them anyway. And so most of the ways people can message me or get a hold of me, they literally will get some kind of autoresponder that said, thank you so much. My goal is to get back to this in the next 24 hours. This is important to me. You know, here are my office hours or something along those lines. And I had never lost a client or had a complaint of somebody that told me that that was crazy. And now when I do sit down to work, it's not, okay, I have YouTube open over here watching the cat video while I'm also trying to do this. Like, it's focused work and it takes less time overall by just attacking it all at one time later.
Yeah, I'm a big believer that multitasking is a myth.
Absolutely.
And between freedom, and then I use these little Pomodoro timers, little tomato timers that I set for these 45-minute sessions. And it's crazy, but when I see that timer and I'm like, I've got 45 minutes to do this, it is wild how much gets done because I'm not going to take a break till those 45 minutes and I'm not going to do anything. I've got to sit focused, and it's not for me to then read the news or hop on Netflix. It's something tangible is getting done. And I think these are all the differences between seeing average success or seeing success that's a roller coaster and seeing that consistent growth forward. I mean, these are the choices you make. They're not easy. You know, I'm hearing, you know, all the things that you've talked about and waking up at 4:40 and having the discipline and caring for your mind, your body, and your skill set every single day. These are not things that come natural to us, but they're the choices we have to make if we want to see the great success at the end.
Absolutely. And, you know, great quote that so many people have heard, you know, to have something different, you have to do something different. And so if you are dissatisfied with something in your life, but you're still doing the same thing over and over again, then I can't really feel sorry for you if you're not willing to make some changes. And, you know, it started with me, you know, going all the way back to 100 pounds overweight, you know, dropping out of college 3 times, really just looking at myself in the mirror and saying, Jimmy, if you don't change, this is your life for the rest of your life right here. And it's not always easy. And sometimes it's painful, but change is necessary. And it's not about all the changes at once. It's like make one change, one small change, and commit to it. And when you get that down and you see how your life has changed because of it, then you add the next one. And then you add the next one. Where I am right now wasn't about an overnight changing everything I do with my entire routine. I am 9 to 10 years. If you look at me now, I'm 9 to 10 years. It's all these little changes now that make up my routine and who I am now. But if I were to try to take on all these things at once, I'd have burned out. I wouldn't have stuck with it. And so it's been a matter of one baby step, master that thing, see the results from it, add the next one. And add the next one, and you're going to look back and you're going to be shocked at how far you've come.
Well, I love all of this. This is like one of those conversations that it makes me smile because it's such tangible things that you can do and consider. So I've got to ask, you know, all of these things wrap up. You have all of these crash and learn moments. We're 9 years into this business. Tell me, where does the business sit today? What does this look like?
It's awesome. If you had told me where we were today when we started, I thought you were crazy. And I'll tell you what makes it awesome. And it's not necessarily the bank account or anything like that. You mentioned the fact that my wife is from New Orleans. There was a bit of a family emergency yesterday. And without whim or anything, she was up with the kids on their way to New Orleans this morning at 6 a.m. And what I love about this business is, number one, the freedom that it's created. That I watched my wife, you know, commute to jobs that she just hated for so many years. That I watched her after we had our son, after she got on maternity leave, have to hand me an infant at 6 a.m. in the morning because she drove an hour in the dark and went to and from a job where she did the most work but wasn't compensated correctly for her efforts in the office place. And you just can't put a price tag on, oh, my family needs me, or we need to be somewhere and can pick up and go and do that. And the second part of this is that every day I get to work with people and teach them some of these things that I've learned and watch them have success so much quicker than I did, because my job, I always feel, as a mentor or a business coach, is to just shine a light on the roadblocks that I hit and say, hey, I'm going to help you see the success that we've achieved in half the time, because I'm just going to tell you all the mistakes that I made. And so be able to wake up every morning, have my family around me all day long, and be able to serve and help people change their lives in a really tangible way. It's just amazing. And that's what the business looks like right now. And I'm looking forward to finding more ways to serve even more people and other audiences going forward.
Oh, Jimmy. I mean, you know, every time we talk, you just leave me with like the biggest smile on my face, because the service that you provide, and beyond just the actual service that you provide, it's the attitude and inspiration you instill in people is so invigorating. It's wild. I just can't wait to see what this next journey is. I can't wait, especially to watch you teaching people how to tell their stories, because I feel like out of everything I know and love about you, that is a gift that is second to none. It's something that when I see you do it, I just go, oh, powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. Well, I can't thank you enough for being on here, for sharing all of this, and for walking us into your crash and learns.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to share. It's such an honor and a privilege, and I really do appreciate it.
Oh, I love it. Well, guys, thank y'all so much for joining Jimmy and I on here. We cannot wait until I see you tomorrow and then again next week for another Crash and Learn. Y'all have a great day.
Ready to build your own empire? Join us in our free Ready, Aim, Empire Facebook group, where we're taking action steps to building epic businesses every single day. Head to ReadyAimEmpire.com to get started.